Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for all you're doing, Lord. We see the end from the beginning as you taught us, Lord. And we believe we have received when we pray, Lord. And we're going to pray today too, Lord. We're going to see some changes out there. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to continue on here with the Faction Election War 1. This is number 17, believe it or not. I want to start out by, getting us on a good foundation here. You know, got this revelation here from Isaac Payne. It's a dream. It's about harlot witches and the lamb. And he said, "This was a very brief dream. I saw a few harlot witches on the left side. Also, I saw a young lamb standing on the right side. The harlot witches attacked the young lamb and forcibly seduced this lamb." Okay, well, who is the lamb? Jesus said in Luke 10:3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves." So, we, as lambs, by the way, we're not fighting with the wolves. We're not to be doing that. We're to be fighting with the principalities and powers, right? Absolutely. That's what lambs do. Okay, so we're the body of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He called us to take up our cross, to die to self. He said if we refused, we could not be his disciples. Lambs don't fight with wolves. They meekly try to convert them. Okay. Well, what about the witches? Well, 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." There are a lot of people into witchcraft through rebellion. And so let's mention a few of these witches that are in rebellion, who are seducing the lamb. According to Matthew 18:34-35, unforgiveness turns people over to tormenting demons. And in this political battle, some have come to make themselves wolves who see the left as something to devour politically or militarily, instead of some people who need Jesus. I mean, this is who we're dealing with. When we deal with the world, we're dealing with people who need Jesus, right? Or they can never be changed. You can't change anybody by subduing them or putting them in jail or killing them. You can't change them. That's what we're here for. We've been called to do this. This is our ministry from Jesus. We are many times, because of the political battle, get caught up in the world's conflicts. Okay? We're not permitted to wrestle with flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. This is our ministry. We don't want to be outside of our ministry, or we're outside of Christ. And as we're going to see today, if you're outside of Christ, you're outside of his best blessings, right? And also, we are forbidden to judge those without the body, because they don't have any ability to be godly. They're at the mercy of the devil. They've been plundered by the devil. It's our job, of course, as ministers of reconciliation, to reconcile them to God. You can't do it if you're fighting with them, right? Pointing out what they do and what's wrong with it is not necessarily fighting with them. But if you, because I mean, obviously in the Bible it does that. It points out who's in error and who's not. And so we have to do that, you know. 1 Corinthians 5 and 12 says, "For what have I to do with judging them that are without?" See, the Apostle Paul knew that was not his job. Then we're not supposed to do that because, like I said, they're at the mercy of the devil. They're victims. We have to do something for them or they will be forever lost, right? That's our ministry. And fighting political battles for a country that is not Christian, I got to tell you, this is not a Christian country. There are no such thing as Christian countries. There's Christian people. There's not even a such thing as a Christian church. There's Christian people. You understand? Also, among the right are many lost Christians who are only religious but don't know the Lord. And they're leaven to the body. Also, in other words, they're a seduction. They because they are worldly, they drag people back into the world. And when you get into the political battle, you ally yourselves with the right, many of whom are not godly at all. It doesn't matter even if they believe in Christ. It only matters if they submit to Christ as a sanctified person, right? So they're leaven to the body. And there are many New Agers, Unitarians, you know, that believe in everybody's God is God, right? Gaia worshipers. It's really not Mother God. It's Father God, right? Father God. The Gaia worshipers among the right wing who believe that everybody's God is God. And so, you see, and let me say that one day when this battle is over, these people will turn against you. Either they will be converted or they will turn against you. You're going to be hated of all nations for his namesake. There's going to be a distinct difference between the body of the dragon and the body of Christ. And the lukewarm are going to be spewed out of the body of Christ. That's what that means. So they believe that everybody's God is God, but Jesus said in John 8 and 24, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins except you believe that I am he." You shall die in your sins. No, not Buddha. No, not any of the rest of these gods out here that have no power, no authority. Acts 4 and 12 says, "And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." Did you hear that? So there is no salvation in what these Unitarians, you know, considered gods out there. I think everybody's God is God, you know. No, it's a lie. We see from the Word of God, it's a lie. And there are many of such people that are in the right wing, so to speak, that are fighting this battle against the left. And as far as we're concerned, we pick our battles. We pick and choose our battles, and we want the left to lose. It's primarily the worst thing that's out there. We want the left to lose, and but we don't want to be seduced by these people, either into politics, because we're spending so much time in politics instead of the Word of God, or seduced by those religious spirits in them. I know I've talked to and debated some of the New Agers and Unitarians, and they get really mad at you when you say, "No, Jesus is the way to salvation. They get mad. They show you that they're not Christian. These people are believing that to get rid of the deep state and partake of the hidden riches, which Isaiah 45 speaks of Cyrus being shown, the hidden riches, and the many inventions, for instance, that the deep state has hidden from us, astounding inventions. They think that this will bring about heaven on earth. I'm telling you, they are saying so. They think this new age that is coming upon the world, salvation is coming upon the world. Well, this is total ignorance of the coming tribulation shown in the book of Revelation. We indeed will be able, I believe, to partake of some of these benefits. But Revelation 6 is coming with its wars, with its famine, with its death, etc. And it's coming quickly. Where is this heaven on earth that they're claiming? No, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. They're thinking they're going to make the whole world to be at peace as soon as they knock down the deep state. Well, what about the deep state in the church? See, you can just keep right on going here, you know. If you're going to take down, if you're ever going to have peace, the only people on this earth have to be true disciples of Christ. That's the only way you could possibly have peace. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. You know, when they get through with this enemy, they're going to be looking at you. I'm just telling you. Notice how fast some of them switched aisles in the Congress. That was a shocker, wasn't it? So now many are seduced into this political battle, and they're ignoring the word, which has power to save and to heal and to deliver and to preserve you through all of this. In Exodus, the plague passed over before the riches were given to the Israelites. Did you hear what I said? Now, I believe that the Lord showed us that because he wants to show us that just as Trump and the white hats, as they call themselves, are trying to make sure that no deep state factious people are able to partake of this money, God is doing the same on the Christian side. They have their eyes on that. The factious people have their eyes on that. But you know what? It ain't going to happen. Ultimately, it's not going to happen. Because there is a parallel here. You can look back and forth and you can see that we're running parallel. They have their faction. We have our faction, right? Same things are happening. And I believe it will be this way now because the factious will be taken down by this and not partake of these benefits. And let me say this, if a person repents, they can partake of these benefits. But if you live in faction, you can't because you don't forgive and you are not forgiven. You're fornicators, liars, thieves, etc. What is God going to do in order to turn you? It's turn or burn, very simply. The right are cutting the left out of the benefits of the GCR. And we were shown the faction in the church will run parallel to this. We have seen them taken down by the plague in dreams and visions. And, you know... and not partaking of those benefits. Okay. So, I mean, there's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. The only way to have peace is to first have peace with God. Right? If you don't have peace with God, He don't have peace with you. He's going to send judgment to hopefully bring you to repentance. He turns people over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirits might be saved in the day of the Lord. That's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He wants to save all who will come unto him. And he will put that in your heart, even. Now, so we've got this usurper up there. And don't know where he is. I mean, when they take pictures of him, he's not necessarily in the White House for sure. But and the inauguration was mostly pre-recorded. Even when they said it wasn't, it was the inauguration, they lied, like they always do. That's what factious people do. So we asked for some words on the 22nd and about the failure of this usurpation too, you know. And Michael Haragot, 1 Kings 4, 43 through 46. Now listen carefully, because when God gives you words, he wants you to pick out what you see there that is parallel to what is happening that he wants changed, or that he wants you to believe that you can change. Okay? 1 Kings 1, 43 through 46. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah. Now you recognize Adonijah. He was the traitorous usurper of the throne. Just like Biden. verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. Now, he's the guy that was ordained to be king and was spoken by David to be king. Even the Davids of our day are speaking of him being king. Solomon means peaceful. And Trump is the one who has peace, amazingly, you know, and he has brought peace because he has resisted all wars. Something that we just have never experienced in our lifetimes. Because the criminals running the world under Satan make money, and their lords make money off of war. So, and here comes Trump along, making peace. And verse 44 says, and the king has sent with him the true leadership of the church he speaks to here, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. Well, that was one of their traditions about, you know, who is the next king. He's going to ride on the king's mule, right? So this was Solomon. They caused him to do this. They caused him. This is the true church here, caused this to happen. In other words, they caused the usurpation of Adonijah to be for naught. He was useless, and he fled. Because he knew he was going to be arrested. Anyway, and Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king, that is Solomon Trump, king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing. And I'm telling you, the whole world is going to rejoice when Trump goes back in as the head of the reformed republic, not USA Incorporated. It doesn't exist. Biden is the president of nothing. It doesn't exist. I mean, many people are ignoring him. And from what we understand, even his presidential directives are all falling in the wastebasket because the people who enforce them are not doing anything. They don't want to be prosecuted for agreeing with this treason. That's what we're hearing. So, so that the city rang again. The people were happy. Now, look, how many people are going to be happy when this usurper is cast down and the real president is put up there? So, yeah, the overwhelming majority of people in the United States voted for the man. That's easily proven. And this is the noise that you have heard. Yeah, I bet some people were nervous that Adonijah was now usurping the kingdom, right? And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And so what we see here is the true leadership of the church installing the true king or president. And the usurper was vanquished. So, I mean, God gave us this by faith at random. Right after this happened. And we knew it was an answer. Okay. So, I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, do you want us to kick the usurper out of the government? And I got a yes. And I heard this verse, Psalm 149, 5 through 9. Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. I mean, what is the two-edged sword? It is the word of God. It's not a weapon. It's the word of God, which is our spiritual heavenly weapon, the weapon of the spiritual people, not the carnal people, right? And what is this for? What do we use the word to do? To execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples. Do they force this on them like communism? No, Christians don't do that. Some of them think that they can and think that they will, and all of their hope is in what can the military do to get the usurper out of there. I tell you, God can use a monkey if you will just give him faith. And what is it that that they do? To bind their kings with chains. Bind. Didn't we get an authority from the Lord to bind? Yes, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, if you permit it, it will be permitted. If you don't permit it, it won't be permitted. That's what God's saying. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Now they can't break loose from that, can they? To execute upon them the judgment written. Do you know we have judgments written? Yes, I've shared with you dreams and visions that God has given concerning this and where we're going and what's going to happen and who's going to be at the head of it for 4 more years. And you've heard the prophets out there speaking and telling you that he's going to have 4 more years to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all of his saints. I mean, you don't have to be super somebody so-and-so or any letters behind your name to do this. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Wow, wouldn't you be happy if the Lord told you, well, now what all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. If you believe that, wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you be praising the Lord? Oh, yeah. See, it's a difference in you believing something so that it's actually in your heart and you can act upon it, and just being religious, right? So, there you have it. The overthrow of the usurper. Praise the Lord. That was an answer. Here's one, another one we got. Judy got this by faith at random. 2 Kings 16, 1 through 4. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Okay, that's exactly what we have received before, but in a different text, okay? Because if you look just up above this verse 1, you read in 2 Kings 15 and 37, in those days, the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. So what happened then? Well, these two and their militaries, they sought to put a usurper on the throne over the people of God. Yes. And we see this same story that I'm talking about here, even with the same names and everything, in a text that we also received just recently. And that would be Isaiah 7, 1 through 14. And in that text, the man-child destroys this conspiracy to put a usurper over God's people. Okay. How cool. So let me read that to you. Isaiah 7, 1 through 14. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham. See, we're talking about the same thing as what Judy got here. The son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria. Okay, so let me say this. Rezin, the king of Syria, this is the beast kingdom that represents the deep state that has fought against the people of God. That's what they represent. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, another bunch of people that with no common sense fought against the people of God. This is the apostate northern 10 tribes who rejected the temple in Jerusalem and made their own altars and golden calves and priests who were not ordained of God. So they were total apostates. That's just like most of Christianity. I'm telling you, that is most of Christianity. You know, the Lord didn't send anybody out that wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. He didn't send anybody out. He said, you wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power, and then you go. And they did. And then they went. Now, in the religions, they don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues or prophecy or gifts or someone's power, healing, anointing. So they don't believe in any of that. And they've made priests over the people of God who are not ordained of God. It's very clear from the scriptures they're not ordained of God. And all of these dead denominations, man, they just are out there spreading their liberalism. Yes, they are. Okay. So, this king of Israel, he represents the northern 10 tribes who rejected the truth. A few days ago, Michael and I met a sister who told us her story. We'd never met her before. She was grieved that she sent her daughter to a Bible college that she thought was Christian, and her daughter came out a very liberal leftist for Biden. Of course, she was a Trumper, so this was grieving her. You know what? I got to tell you, this is just one of many Bible colleges that are doing this. It's the same thing that's happened in the what they call higher education. It's not higher education, but that's what they call it. It's the same thing. Send your kids to college, they come out a leftist. You see, the CCP has been invading both for years and spreading money around to bribe people into their court. And I'm talking Chinese Communist Party. And so this was a mainline denomination. Been around for many years. Of course, the older they get, the more dead they get. No power, no anointing, no obedience to the Word of God, you know. And this was a mainline denominational school, just like many out there that have been taken out by this spirit. The Chinese Communist Party has given money to some of these in order to bribe them. Many Trump Republicans, some Christian, have crossed the aisle to the Democrats. Why? Well, either they were fearful because they saw that they had lost. Wrongly saw that, by the way. Very wrongly. It is not lost at all. Okay. Or they were bribed by Chinese money. Our governor is bribed by Chinese money. Yeah, so, and there are a lot of them that were. So you see, people have no honor. If someone is not a disciple of Christ, they cannot be trusted. The overwhelming majority of Christianity has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're at the mercy of their mind, and their mind does not understand the Scriptures, because the Holy Spirit is given to lead you and guide you in all truth, Jesus said. So, I mean, that's not necessarily that you will follow the Holy Spirit, but if you have the Holy Spirit, at least then you can listen to Him and obey the Word of God. You have power over your flesh and over the devil. They shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon them, right? So, the overwhelming majority are getting liberalized by the world. You know, the witches, right? So, continuing our text, this unholy alliance, quote, went up to Jerusalem to war against it. And why? To install a usurper king over it, but could not prevail against it. Did you hear that? They can't prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart trembled, and the heart of his people. And I tell you, there's a lot of people trembling out there and worried about what they see. And that's the problem. It's what they're reading and what they're seeing, not what they're praying and what they're believing. You see, we're called to change things, not be changed by things. You get out there in that political world, back and forth, wanting to see how we can win this thing and be encouraged by what you see and all this stuff. There's no faith in that, and it distracts you from the Word of God. The Word, which is what puts Jesus in you to make you strong and to give you authority and to act upon so that these things don't have to happen, right? He goes on to say, as the trees of the forest tremble with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now and meet Ahaz, thou, and Shear-Jashub, thy son. That means a remnant shall return. There is a remnant, by the way, that's going to be saved out of this thing, you see. So he told him to take Shear-Jashub with him, right? That remnant that returns. At the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither let thy heart be faint because of these two tales of a smoking firebrand, right? For the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have purposed evil against thee, saying, in other words, he's encouraging the true head over the people of God here, the one they want to overthrow and put their puppet in there. Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set up a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Well, the Lord didn't agree, and I hope you don't either, that they can do this thing and get away with it. Thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about this usurpation. It's not going to come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken in pieces. And by the way, we know that the deep state is going to judge apostate Christianity because it's not Christianity. Israel here is a representation of this apostate Christianity. They turned away from the Lord. They did their own thing. So that it shall not be a people. Yes, I'm telling you, when the deep state is through with the apostate people of God, there is going to be a great change out there. Many people are going to come to repentance. A remnant shall return. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Oh, he's talking to the head of God's people here. If you will not believe, you will not be established. Do you believe that God will not permit this conspiracy to put a usurper over his people to stand? How will God stop this? Well, the very next verses. He gave Ahaz a sign to show him how he's going to stop this. And the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz had his own religious ideas about signs. It's just like a lot of religious people do, by the way. God does give signs. He just doesn't give them to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He gives them Jonah. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. That's exactly what a lot of religious people would say today. You know, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men that you will weary my God also? In other words, God said, ask for a sign. Shut up and ask for a sign. He was going to, you know, give him his religious ideas, right? Be quiet. Ask for a sign. That's what he was commanded through the prophet. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men that you will weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So when did Jesus become God with us? The Son of God came in the Son of Man, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans 1 and 3 says. You know what? He's doing the same thing, and they're going to miss him again. Look what he's saying here. So Jesus is coming in his David man-child body of reformers to take down the factions just like David did. History always repeats. That's what David did. He took down the Edomites, that faction against the people of God, who wanted to usurp authority over them. Now here's an amazing thing. The text that we have been reading here, all the way up until this point, is a completely different time in history than when this sign came to pass. Why did he plug it in right here? Because it fits what's happening in our day. It's a prophecy. A completely different time. Way, way before the time of the coming of Jesus to fulfill this prophecy, this revelation here of a war to put a usurper on the throne was completely different. It doesn't fit here unless you understand what I just got through telling you, that this is the solution, and it's the solution in our day too. Yeah. In other words, no, this usurper is not going to be over the people of God. This man-child is going to be over the people of God. Jesus sat on the throne of David. You know, he was over the people of God. Not that old fox, as he called him, you know. Listen. The reason he has plugged this into a completely different time in history, and it doesn't fit in any way except the way I'm telling you, is that God is speaking to us today. The man-child ministry is both pre-anointing and post-anointing. And I'm telling you, the man-child ministry is going to bring the usurper down. He said, no, this is not going to happen. No, the usurper's not going to sit on the throne. This is a sign. So he gives us the sign. Isn't that cool? And that's the sign. Now, we know this is talking about Jesus, but Jesus in John 16 said he was coming again as a little baby born to a woman. And that's over in Revelation 12. Except people think it's Jesus. But it's not. Because Jesus told John, come up hither, I'll show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. So it was even after John's time. And when is that the man-child is born to the woman? It's in our day. As all the revelations we are giving you, it's in our day. Now, I believe that what's going to happen is God is going to use the man-child ministry, and even with their cooperation with the saints of God, to bring this down. Not, you know, first of all, yeah, the military can be used to do this, but who is going to make the military do this? They've already failed once. What would not cause them to not fail again? I mean, what could do it? Listen, if the military does this, and they send out a plague, because that's how they stopped it on the 20th, is one of two ways, a dirty bomb or a plague, both people believe is what happened, okay? A bomb that was a plague, right? A biological bomb, in other words. If they try again, do you think that the military has gone out there and gotten everything that the deep state could throw at them if they threw out this usurper? Don't you think it's a possibility that this is how the plague comes? I know the plague is coming from the deep state. I've been telling you that for a long time. Why are they retaliating? I think it's because they're about to lose the only piece of a seat in the government that they've got. They are losing, and they are desperate, and they're going to hurt some people. But God's going to use it just like the plague in Egypt. There's a Passover for God's people. Okay, so now I hope you got that point. That's a real strong confirmation to what I'm saying here, okay? And Sue Gilbert got asked for an encouraging word, and she got it. All these were on the same day, same morning, you know. Jeremiah 32 and 42. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Ooh, the promise is still coming. Do you believe it? He said, if you don't believe, you won't get it, in the text that I just shared with you. So now, it's important for some people to believe. Other people, it's not important for them to believe because they don't believe nothing. They never have believed anything. They don't even know what faith is. They don't know about believing you have received. That's faith. They don't know about that. So God's not expecting anything out of them. He's expecting things out of you who know better. Oh, hallelujah. Like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. We know the good that he's promised. We know it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, right? Okay, so Don Laughlin received Matthew 2, 5 through 6. Got it by faith at random, same day, same morning. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, thou Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. Okay, now we know who Israel represents, the Old Testament church. And we know who Jesus the man-child represents in our day too, is the man-child ministry that he is sending forth, that he is empowering. Nothing for them to take credit for, anything whatsoever. It's all by grace, totally. The shepherd, Jesus, is coming to repeat history in the man-child body, because now the church is a worldwide body and needs a worldwide man-child. And is coming against a worldwide beast instead of the local beast, like in Jesus' day, the Romans, right? That was a local beast. But now we got a worldwide beast coming against the worldwide church, and we need a worldwide man-child. And so this is what God does. He always repeats history, but on a larger form every time, more people every time. So this body of reformer leadership, so that Jesus can come in his people before coming for his people. You see, we need new leadership to teach God's people how Jesus is coming in his people. And if he doesn't come in his people, he can't come for his people, right? So, Deb received from a center column reference, Job 5 and 21. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. Okay, this is good. We know what the scourge of the tongue is. We've heard them screaming up there what they're going to do to the Christians. Oh, yeah. Do you think they're going to get to do it? No. They will bring judgment against apostate Christianity. That's what the Lord has shown us over and over and over. Okay. But they're not going to be able to do it for the faithful people. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. And she got Psalm 31 and 20, same time, in the center column. In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of man. Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Well, thank you, Father, for doing that for your people. There is an advantage to being a disciple of Christ and not just what they loosely call a Christian. So, where are most Christians right now? Everyone is watching to see what the right-wing patriots are going to do. They call them the White Hats, right? Trusting in them to save us. Should we be doing this? No. All of our faith should be towards God. We've already seen they failed once. Can they do it again? Of course they can. Or they can make a mistake and cause the enemy to turn loose a terrible plague. Yeah. So, we are the ones that are called to cast the dragon down. We are the ones who are called to do this. Remember how I've shared with you how the Lord showed us that the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child. He's been doing that for years to try to bring down that ministry, much like Herod attempted to destroy the baby Jesus coming on the scene, but took out all his contemporaries. And so, this is a type all the way back through scriptures, but it's still true today. The dragon has been seeking, and when you see who it is that's trying to devour the man-child, you understand something about the dragon. The dragon includes the factions, all of them, all of Antichrist is in the dragon. They're against Christ, and they're against anybody who is living in Christ, anybody who's walking by faith in Christ. They're against that. They will fight against it. They will steal from them. They will whatever they can do to bring them down. They'll take away their materials down because people are getting saved, and they don't want that to happen. Yeah. So we are called to cast the dragon down. Now, when we do this, what method will God use? Physical method out there, it doesn't make any difference. The only thing is, you got to get the horse in front of the cart here. Okay? The body of the dragon, it's left and it's right. It's all of the unsaved, whether they call themselves Christians or not. The body of the dragon is the antithesis of the body of Christ. They are Antichrist. And let me tell you, the faction out there in the church and in the world, they are Antichrist. They are a part of the dragon. They seek to devour the man-child. And there are only two men in the earth, as Jesus said. And those two men are Christ and Antichrist. And he talks about the two women too, right? The harlot and the bride, the faithful, right? Christ and Antichrist. As we're going to see, the saints cast down the dragon. And this usurper is one of the leaders of the dragon. He's one of the heads of the faction. Are you following? Okay, so when I talk about casting down the dragon, we're talking about this whole deep state mess. They're elite. They're leaders. Why does God keep them alive? Why is the devil still here when it only takes one angel to bind him up and throw him in the lake of fire? Why is he still? They have a purpose. Their purpose is to chasten God's people to bring them into alignment with the Lord. They administer the curse. They are a curse. Now, listen to this revelation here I'm going to share with you. We called it Red Dragon Falling from Heaven. Andrew Galinas, January the 6th, this 2021. He said, I dreamed I was outside of a supermarket that I'd never shopped in before. I told my wife we should go in and check it out. So we went in and shopped for our usual groceries. My wife then went on ahead to the checkout as I browsed a few more things. And when I caught up with her at the register, she was very distraught with me and said, because you went and spent all of our money, all we have left is $15. So this loaf of bread is all we can buy now. Let me tell you, the deep state has been working to bring this to pass. The church will go through a period of famine caused by the deep state communist red Chinese red dragon. Yes, that's another parallel to the red dragon, right? Who will die for this and other abominations. Bill Gates is a eugenicist. And he's buying up all the farmland that he can get his hands on. Why? The deep state has been destroying our breadbasket in order to depopulate and to control us. They've used weather manipulation. They've used burning down silos and granaries. They've used all kinds of methods. They dry up one area so that the plants don't grow. They take another area and they drown it so that the farmers can't get into the field. They've been doing this to destroy the crops. And God's people, you know, should be doing what we are called to do, you know, to cast this down. And we know that they're going to be successful in chastening God's people, even killing the wicked among God's people. They're going to be able to do this. It's God's plan. He doesn't need this great mixed multitude going into the wilderness. There will be a mixed multitude going into the wilderness, which is, you know, part Christian and part world or beast, right? Part Egyptian and part Christian. He's cutting down on the numbers of these people to give us a chance in the days ahead. He's going to do it. The next thing I remember, he says, was that we were driving home when suddenly a big white missile with a red nose or tip appeared flying directly over the road we were traveling down. Now, I don't know if this is right or not. The red nose could be, you know, China. But he said, Russia came to the back of my mind as I saw this. Okay, maybe so. It flew right over us, heading in the opposite direction. Then I was watching it travel from an overhead bird's eye view. And then an all-white, smaller, missile-like object began to fly, hovering just above the larger one. It seemed to be trying to disable the larger missile before it could hit its target. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have been told that Star Wars initiative, you know, that Reagan spoke about, actually came into being and takes down incoming missiles very well. So this is happening today. The Space Force, of course, they've got a part in this, you know. Okay, then he says, then the larger missile flew into the ocean just offshore and detonated very violently under the surface. I bet. I felt that even though it had gone off underwater, it was still going to cause some damage to the coastline nearby. Could be. Yes, it very well could be. Later on, I saw a red dragon tumbling from the clouds in the horizon. There you go. Maybe this is a timing here, this missile and the dragon tumbling from the clouds. At the beginning of the tribulation, when the man-child ministry is born, in Revelation 12, the red dragon and his swarm of angels are cast down by the saints through the angels of God. And all you got to do is read it and you'll see that I'm saying exactly what's going on there. Revelation 12, 5 through 14. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. By the way, Jesus earlier, in I believe it's chapter 2, he said that he that overcometh will rule all the nations with the rod of iron. He that overcometh. He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus manifested in his people. Because when you overcome, it's because Jesus is living in you by his word and by his spirit. Right? And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Now, this is the place of authority. You see, Jesus gave us authority over everything. But how many of you know we haven't manifested it all? There is a time when the anointing comes upon the man-child when he's caught up to the throne of authority, right? When this will be manifested. And so, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they, who is he talking about? Who he was just talking about, the man-child. They, the man-child, may nourish her 1,260 days. Remember, Jesus, the man-child, went into the desert. Sometimes desert there in the Gospels is the same word for wilderness. And he took his disciples there, and he did signs and wonders and miracles, and he taught them there. You know, he took them into the wilderness, just like the man-child here is doing. Right? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So the man-child is caught up to heaven, been given authority, and the dragon is cast down from heaven, losing his authority. Does that sound like Haman in the book of Esther? He had the ring of authority from the king. And when Purim came, the king took that ring of authority off and gave it to Mordecai, meaning little man or man-child. And Mordecai, the man-child, was the one who raised up Esther to be the bride. They prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. God is taking away the dominion. He is casting down the dragon. Now, that doesn't mean it's all over, because the beast follows the dragon, and the dragon gave his authority to the beast. Okay? That's a different story. That's the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period, not the first. This is the first 3.5 years we're talking about now. Verse 9. And the great red dragon was cast down, the old serpent. So the dragon is the old serpent, like in the garden. Remember, in the garden, the serpent walked on his hind legs. When God cursed him is when he went down on his belly, right? So if you looked at some of those dinosaurs back there, you know what a serpent looked like there, okay? He is he that is called the devil and Satan. So this great dragon was the devil and Satan. And he is the deceiver of the whole world. Let me tell you, nobody in the world will escape this deception. He is the deceiver of the whole world. And let me tell you about his body. If you don't already know that, that body that the dragon has is the whole world. There's only one place the seven heads and the ten horns exist today. It's in the UN, where all nations are gathered together. And that's the seed, by the way, of the seven-headed, ten-horned body of the dragon. And it's the whole world. The seven heads are the seed of seven world-ruling kingdoms who ruled over God's people. Remember what Daniel said about them? Their dominion was taken away. In other words, each one of them was conquered by another beast kingdom. Their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. And how long were their lives prolonged? All the way up till today. Because their seed has come all the way down to us. And their seed is in the UN. It's a one world order. And the ten horns are the ten kings who are over the ten continental divisions of the whole world. That's right. Again, you have the whole world. So you've got the body of the dragon and the body of Christ. There's only two bodies in the earth at this time, at the first 3.5 years. Just two bodies. So he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, "Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Okay. So, the devil is cast down. The dragon is cast down. The devil sought to promote his kingdom over the stars of God. Do you remember? And that was Abraham's seed, God said. He wanted to promote his kingdom over the stars of God. But guess what? He is being cast down. And again, the usurper, the usurpers are all in the dragon. They seek to usurp the authority over the people of God. That they're driven to do that because of the demons that are in them. It's like the faction that's coming against the church. They're driven. Most people, they fall out with you, they just go away. Not these people. They are driven to slander and lie and do everything they can to deceive people, because the demons in them want to do that. They want to promote themselves over the people of God, just like the usurper up there in the White House. He's driven to do that. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. That is the people of God, the saints of God. They overcame him. It's them that overcame the dragon. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. That's our right to do what we're doing, is because of the blood of the Lamb. He's already delivered us. He gave us his blood, which is the life of the flesh, is in the blood. So his life is true life. And our old blood from our parents is why we become sinners, right? So because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Okay, the testimony is the same word for witness. They witnessed. What we if we testify or we witness before men, the Lord said he would do it before the Father, right? And they love not their life even unto death. And of course, there are people who defend their old life in every way possible. They don't want to go through tribulation, but through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom, the Bible says. So they do everything to avoid tribulation. And of course, they don't want to go to their cross. But notice here, it is the saints, not the ain'ts. It's the saints that bring down the dominion of the dragon with the usurpers. It's the saints that do this. And Jesus said that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. He is in us by his word and spirit. Do you take the word of God seriously? Do you believe what he said? So let us cast down this usurper according to our authority that Jesus gave us. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Listen to what Jesus said. Could you act on this because you believe it? If you don't believe it, as we just read in Isaiah chapter 7, you won't have it. Verily I say unto you, what things soever, what things whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the authority that he gave to his disciples. And he gives them to us because he told them to go forth and make disciples and teach them to observe everything that he taught them. So now we're receiving it from them. Here it is. Do you believe we have this authority? I don't believe the military has this authority unless they get it from you. Because when you pronounce it as done, everything around us is going to move. In verse 19, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So do you believe it? Amen. And Mark 11, 23 and 24, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea. That, by the way, that mountain he was looking at was the Mount of Olives. It was called the Mount of Abominations. And on the top of that mountain was all kinds of abominations up there to the different gods that they served, especially Solomon when he fell away, right? Be thou taken up and cast into the sea. So, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, and he shall have it. Well, you remember when the saints stood up and called out to the Lord in Joel chapter 2. And when they cried out to the Lord drove that northern army into the sea. Yep. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. This is the key. Literally, the word here is received them. That's right. Believe that you received them, and you shall have them. That's the key. It's something that carnal people cannot do. So, we've got this authority. He's telling us about this authority. And we're to believe it's done, right? Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." These are different kinds of demonic entities, serpents and scorpions. "And over all the power of the enemy," all the power of the enemy, "and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So what should we do? We've been given this authority. He's telling us if we don't use it, it won't be used. He's delegated his authority. Now, just because he can't use you doesn't mean he can't use somebody. Somebody will do it, right? But of course, we want to be vessels of honor for the Lord and to be used of him and to be his mouth in the earth. So, considering our authority about usurpers here, let's just believe God. In the name of Jesus, we agree together to cast down this usurpation over the United States. Just as you showed us in these texts, Lord, we're standing upon your word. And just as you showed us about our authority, we're standing upon your word, and we cast down this usurper off of the throne of the United States, which is basically over the world too. So we cast it down in the name of Jesus. We forbid this. We bind it on earth. We bind and we forbid the deep state leadership over this country in Jesus' name. And we bind all of his reversals of Trump's decisions. And we declare that they will come to naught in the name of Jesus. Okay, so now we thank God because we believe we have received, right? Like he commanded in the text there. Now we thank God, and we do this until we see it come to pass. Will it all come to pass in a moment? Probably not, but it will come to pass. Because you believe you have received, right? It will come to pass. Amen. So you can go forth and declare, it is done in Jesus' name. All we did is step one, two, three. All we did is follow the word here, right? Okay, so thank you, Father, for this awesome dominion that you've given to us over the forces of darkness. So the next thing he says, pretty nice, verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them." Rejoice, you that dwell in the heavens. Why should we rejoice? Where is this heavenly place of safety? It's abiding in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Where? In Christ. The heavenly places are in Christ. If you want to be in heavenly places and out of the reach of the dragon, you have to be in Christ. Ephesians 2 and 6, "And he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Confirmation. So, in order to be in heavenly places and out of the reach of the dragon, we have to be in Christ. What is it to abide in Christ? It is to keep the covenant, which he called an eternal covenant, by the way, that was given in the beginning. And he warned, now don't you add to this or take away from this. If you add to this, I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take away from this, I'll take away your part in the tree of life. It is so serious that God makes that threat for those who want to change the covenant in midstream when he called it an eternal covenant. You see, and that's what the religious people do. They don't understand how destructive they have just become to themselves and others by coming up with stupid doctrines like this. First John 2 and 24 says, "As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning." Okay, so here's the secret. How do you get in Christ? Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son. Now, how many people have gone away from what they received in the beginning, which is written in the book, and followed a religion which got deader? I mean, from the history of every religion is they start out in this blaze of glory because they just left another religion. they took one step out, and they start out in this blaze of glory, and the longer they go, and the more men or usurpers come in to promote their throne over the people of God, the deader they get. So if you, to abide in the Son, you must abide in that which was given to us in the beginning. So forget your religion. Go home and read your Bible. That's what you must believe. And God didn't change that. He warned you not to change that. And they have been doing it ever since. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they did it too. The church is just following in repeating history, you know. So he says, "Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time." So the devil has permission to persecute the earthly people. He says, "Woe for the earth and for the sea." And the sea is what? The peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, as he tells us in Revelation. "Knowing that he hath but a short time." So the devil's got a permission to persecute the earthly people who do not dwell in heavenly places. This is to drive the people to seek safety in their heavenly places in Christ. You see? They're being driven by the devil, driven to seek out the place that is pleasing in Christ. And this is probably the only way they'll ever make it, is to be driven by the devil. Okay. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle." What is this? This is the knowledge given by the man-child to the woman of how to enter into heavenly places and safety. Because we have to learn how to abide in Christ. Because we have to learn what was given to us from the beginning. So when? And this is at the beginning of the tribulation period. This right here is at the beginning of the tribulation period. In other words, did you notice at the beginning of the sentences it says and, meaning all of this happened way back there when the devil was being cast down. And it's still happening here, and, right? Because it goes on to say, "that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place." Okay, the wilderness, of course, is the tribulation. Whether people want to believe it or not, it is. This is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Revelation 17 talks about the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, and it's called wilderness in both places. that she might fly into the wilderness. She's given these two wings to fly above the earth. Aha! To fly in heavenly places above the earth, where it's kind of dangerous. Where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent, who is what? The dragon. As we started out saying. So, what are they learning here? They're learning how to dwell in heavenly places. The wings of the eagle dwell in heavenly places. And what is that? Learning how to abide in Christ. The original Jesus, the real Jesus, you know, not the Jesus of nowadays, the real Jesus. So we're abiding in him. What does the body of Christ do? Exactly what God wants it to do, because he's the head of the body, right? So if you're in the body of Christ and you're abiding in that body, it is because you're connected to the head. The real head, not the modern day Jesus, that's Antichrist. So as the dragon hit the earth, he said, as the dragon hit the earth, what looked like a huge swarm of thousands of tiny red dragons exploded into flight, filling and darkening the sky. Well, these are the dragon's angels, demons, the little dragons. The dragon that had fallen from heaven crouched on the earth in the background of the swarm, glaring at me through the swarm with great wrath in his eyes. Because, it goes on to say, the devil is gone down unto you having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And let me say, in this form of the dragon, the devil no more exists after the middle of the tribulation period. He's mentioned as the dragon from then on. Because this is the first 3.5 years. And then the beast takes over. And the dragon gives his authority to the beast. So what happened to the dragon? He was cast down to the ground. He didn't have authority anymore. Yeah. So here's Andrew's next dream of the dragon. Desolation of the Red Dragon. In the dream, I was riding a bicycle around the basement of a work building, amazed at how easily I was able to do extremely complex and difficult freestyle tricks without any effort at all. And without even practicing or learning them beforehand. They just seemed to flow out of me. Then a man who seemed to be my co-worker came downstairs while continuing to do his heavy labor work. He watched me spinning around on one wheel as I kept a big grin on my face. Well, this other guy, I think, represents the world, and the world has only seen the church enjoying spinning around in a circle and going nowhere at this time. The church has been a gigantic failure, and basically because they didn't abide in him who is from the beginning. They didn't abide in their covenant. They're not keeping their covenant. Going nowhere. And Andrew went on to say, because he's kind of demonstrating this for us, I don't think I ever stopped my miraculous bike riding when I asked him, did you see the desolation of Smog 4? Did you see the desolation of Smog 4 yet? And I seemed to stutter the word 4 so that it came out 444. He was surprised and asked excitedly, is it in theaters yet? I replied, it's actually out right now. It's the Red Dragon. He's out right now. Listen, we are seeing this theater manifesting before us now. It is the dragon who is seeking to devour the man-child, which is being brought down. The gematria of 444, you know what a gematria is. It's when you add up the Greek letters in the New Testament, and what does it come out to? In a phrase or a word or whatever. Same with the Old Testament. They're both God-ordained to have this. So the gematria 444 seems to speak of the war between the man-child and the dragon. And I'll put a link here to a bunch of things that come up to 444. I'll just give you some examples. Lord God's coming. 444. Jesus, the Greek name for Jesus. 444. Rise up, like he tells the church, right? 444. The time has come. 444. Demons are coming. Yes, they are. Come and cast down to the earth. 444. Took the mark. 444. Serpent change. That's the dragon. That's the serpent, right? Serpent change. 444. The snake has been beheaded. 444. Now, here's a neat one. Smartmatic. That's just become a famous vote debacle. Smartmatic. Uh-oh. It's identifying us now on this time, right? Smartmatic. 444. That's to enable the usurpers to be promoted over the people of God, like Satan said he wanted to do. Right? So he goes on to say, the desolation of Smaug was the middle film of the Hobbit trilogy based on a J.R.R. Tolkien's children's novel called The Hobbit. Smaug, a huge red dragon, causes great desolation when he rains fire on the men, women, and children of Lake Town. Do you remember the DEW weapons that they used on Paradise? From heaven? Burning fire? Burned them up? Totally. The whole town. After being stirred from a nearly centuries-long slumber on his immense pile of stolen gold. Oh my goodness! Did you know the deep state dragon has been sitting for nearly a century on a mountain of stolen gold? Trump has repatriated as Cyrus, who was to be shown the hidden treasures of darkness, right? Which he was. And we're told that this is actually 34 quadrillions in gold, silver, precious stones, art, etc. So you want to know how they can do a GCR? There it is. And they demand peace in Jisara and Nisara if you're going to take part in this new economy. But it's going to be something. But heaven on earth? No, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So he goes on to say, Smaug's rampage is cut short when he's slain with a single black arrow via a tiny soft spot where he'd lost one of his iron-like scales many years before. Did you hear that? An arrow went through where he had one of his armor pieces missing, a scale missing. As an arrow went between the joints in the armor of Ahab, the apostate leader of God's people, and died. You remember that? He was warned too. Micaiah. His limp body then crashes down into the flaming ruins of the town below. I'm not sure if the word desolation is meant to refer to the destruction the dragon causes, the death of the dragon itself, or both. I think it's both. The abomination that maketh desolate in the scriptures is the beast in the holy place. You remember? Which, by the way, this is the situation in most churches. Did you know that? It's supposed to be a holy place. But there's a beast in there because they don't demand the crucified life. They don't even think it's possible. They don't think it's needed or necessary. And they don't believe in holiness walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. So what do you got there? A bunch of tares. Come out from among them and be separate. This is Antichrist. If you're not Christ, you're Antichrist. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against. That means anti me. You're against me. So the deep state dragon will judge the apostate church, but will be destroyed for it. And Andrew said, this is the third dream about a red dragon that I've had in only 1 month. Yeah. Wow. So, you see, saints, we have this authority from God that's been passed on down to us. As Jesus told his disciples, now you go make disciples, and you teach them to observe everything I told you. Oh, that was just for the disciples. No, Jesus denied that, and the apostles did too. He said, when you make disciples, teach them to observe everything I told you. Meaning, we too have this authority that was given to them. Because now we're disciples. And it was supposed to be passed on down to us, but religion got in the way. Pride got in the way. Letters behind the name got in the way. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they all went to Bible school. They didn't recognize Jesus, not a one of them. They went in there and got liberalized just like they do today. And they didn't recognize their Creator. And so, since they didn't pass it on down to us, we have to go back to that which we heard from the beginning. We can't trust these guys. You have to go back and put in your heart that which was given in the beginning. We know there's a perfect numeric pattern in everything that was given there and written down. But we don't know anything about these people who are, I would say, mixed multitudes. They're part Christian and part world. This is a pollution of the people of God. We need to get back to the Bible. And listen, politics, I know you're excited about the things that are happening. You want to know all about this stuff, and you're probably pouring through all the garbage out there. You know, but this will not make you survive this. Knowledge of what the world is going to do, what they plan to do, or what they tell you that they're doing, which half the time doesn't turn out to be true either, you know, none of that will help you to survive this. The only thing that will help you to survive this is that which you heard from the beginning. It will put you in Christ, in heavenly places, above the fray, above the war. So, repent. Remember the parable of the sower. Jesus, who was the sower, went forth and sowed the seed in men's hearts. Some gave good ground to the seed. And the ones who gave good ground to the seed, in other words, they broke up their fallow ground, and they made a place in their heart for the seed to grow. They bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, what is 100-fold is he's talking about? He's talking about the seed which the sower sowed, which is the Word of God. And what does the Word of God, who is the Word of God first? It's Jesus. What does the Word of God recreate in you, Jesus? Do you think Jesus is going to have any problem with the deep state? Or the usurper? Well, no. You don't think that, do you? I don't think that either. You know, this is going to get exciting when people start believing this. Wow. Can you imagine? And you know what? It's going to happen. Because people are going to have to start believing this good stuff to escape the dragon and the usurper. So we just cast down the usurper. Guess what's going to happen? He's going down. He's going down. I guarantee it. But you know what? He said, you have not because you ask not. Think about that. Jesus said this. The Lord said this through his disciple. You have not because you ask not. That means if you don't ask, you're not going to have. Oh my. Somebody else might get it because they asked. But you won't get it because you didn't ask. Right? Wow. Well, we need to find out what to ask. Where can we find that out? Studying all the guys out there that are telling you what's happening in the world? No. They don't know how to do it either. They don't know what we're talking about. That's some of that seduction of the witchcraft, the rebellion. Changes don't start with men. They start with God. They start with people who exercise God's authority. That's where changes start. Yes, God can use any vessel out there. Once the people of God have spoken the word, he'll bring it to pass through any vessel he wants to. But we've got to realize that it's going to start with God in us. And we have to cast down these things. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We have to cast down these things that we're seeing. We've been doing this. We come together every morning to cast down things that were given in dreams, in revelations, in words, in order to change things. And we, of course, when we see what is the will of God, not just a threat of God, but the will of God, a prophetic word of God. We speak it, we pray for it, and we bring it to pass. So every dream and every revelation that you get is not saying this is what God wants. If you don't want it, if it's contrary to the blessings of God that he provided you, and you are walking with God to the best of your ability, then you can cast these things down. Now, I know the deep state's going to get very mad, and they're going to go forth, and they're going to kill a lot of people that we call Christians. And truly, let me say that we received a word this morning about that the righteous will die with the wicked. See, God says in many places how he's going to destroy the wicked in judgment, okay? And then every once in a while he says, that the righteous will die too. What is he talking about? There are people who are walking with the Lord, and their time is up. They don't need to be here. They want to go and be with Jesus anyway, or maybe they don't want to, but their time is up. You know, God says when you know, what your time is, everybody's, according to what David said, right? So if your time is up, your time is up. You go on. Whatever level that you have grown to in Christ, that's what you will have forever. Whether it be star glory, moon glory, or sun glory, that's what you will have. So there are some people who are righteous in the level that they're walking in, and they go to be with the Lord. That's not bad. Heaven ain't bad, right? So, and then of course there are many wicked, there are many usurpers out there. I'm telling you, God is going to take out. We had some people factioned away from our ministry, and all of them became prophets and teachers and taking authority over people who were sent by God. They're all usurpers. And I got to tell you, if they don't repent, destruction is coming. We've seen some of them die in dreams and things. We've seen some of them taken out by the plague in dreams and things. He's been very merciful. He's given them time to repent. And some of them do not want to repent. Their pride gets in the way. They like the attention of people. They like to be in leadership, even though God never put them there. They were never ordained to anything. They were ordained to shut up and listen, but they didn't even do that right. So there are usurpers out there who have gained a position over God's people simply by going to Bible school and answering everything right that this dead organization put together. So they got their certificate and they became an authority. That's the way the Pharisees came up. Jesus said they came up another way, not through the door. See, only God can ordain people. You have to come through the door, who is Christ, who is the Word of God. To him that overcometh will I give authority, Jesus said. To him that overcometh will I give authority. Well, you're not an overcomer if you have problems with lust, if you have problems with fornication, if you have problems with theft and murder, spiritual or physical. This is not an overcomer. And in fact, he says, don't be deceived. These people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. But they are deceived. And you can tell them that verse, and it just whistles right through one ear and out the other one. And they don't do anything with it. That's because God has turned them over to the devil. Now, if they will cry out to him, he can grant repentance. If they have a moment of conscience and they cry out to him, it's because he's opened their understanding and he will permit them to make that step. If pride gets in the way and they refuse, they will die in their sins. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your precious word today. We thank you that the usurper has cast down today in the name of Jesus. And we're looking forward to, of course, seeing it manifested too, Lord. And the rightful person that you ordained to be put back in there. Actually, he never really left the presidency. And I'm not going to take time to explain that today. But he never left it. And he is also going to be the president, I believe, of the new republic, which returns us back to the original constitution before the leftists whittled it all to pieces. And thank you, Lord, for that. That's a good thing. This is great mercy you're showing on our country and the world, because the world, of course, looks to us as a leader, this nation as a leader. And Lord, this is great mercy. We don't deserve this. And we probably do deserve the plague that the deep state is going to loose. We probably do deserve that. And of course, Lord, we know you're going to take away a lot of usurpers. You're going to take away a lot of leaders of apostate denominations and domineering over people to keep them in this foolishness and not letting them grow up and grow on, you know. Lord, we just ask that your mercy would extend to your people who are ignorant and thinking that they're in the kingdom of God when they're not. And Lord, show them that the kingdom of God is within us. It's wherever God is king in us. That's the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that we grow up in all things into you. unto this perfection that you spoke about in Ephesians, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want desire earnestly that Christ live in us, that the Word of God live in us. Lord, give us a heart to be moldable like your clay, Lord. We know that you talked about making a vessel that that was marred, and you destroyed it and made another one, which, well, as long as it's on the potter's wheel, you can do that. You just beat it down and start all over and form it back up again. Well, Lord, that's good. There's a lot of people that need that, and maybe all of us need it somewhere, you know, to come into your image. But we know we want to come into your image, Lord, and we need a humble heart so that we're moldable, Lord. Some people are incorrigible, which is not moldable. And they don't want to change. They have religious attitudes and religious spirits that keep them in bondage. And they don't want to go on to come into the image of Jesus. Lord, we know this shaking that you're going to do is going to shake a lot of people loose from usurpers. And thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, the people need to go on quickly. Go on. We need to get prepared. You know, Lord, they're not getting prepared to stay because they think they're all going to fly away. And, Lord, they're not getting prepared to stay. They're not getting prepared to fly, and they're not getting prepared to stay. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that this shaking cause your people, your righteous people among them, because there are people passing through, you know, on their way to you. We ask, Lord, that you grant grace to your people to be free, to seek the truth, to desire the Word, which is the only way to Christlikeness. Desire the Word of God. Go and look for yourself. Don't trust the theologians. Go and look for yourself. Thank you, Father, for moving mightily in your people to do this. We know that this shaking is going to, again, take away a lot of people who are in the way. They may be in the way of an individual family. They might be in the way of an individual church. They might be in the way in some other way. They're leading your people in the wrong direction, Lord. And right now, we have to be prepared to stay so that we can be prepared to leave. Yes. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that, working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We put our trust in you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and giving us this time of being able to build the kingdom and get people prepared, because in the middle of the trib, the beast is going to make war against the saints. And people have to be able to stand by then, which is not very far away. People have to be ready to stand. And the only thing that's going to do that, Lord, is you in us. That makes people ready to stand. You in us. And us in you, being ready to stand. Oh, thank you, Father, for this. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. And thank you for bringing down the usurpers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again. Amen.